We open our Bibles to Psalm 46. I would like to mention as a courtesy for you, if you'd like to read along, I encourage you to read along. We will also go to Romans chapter 8, and we will go to Psalm 139. And we will read large sections. We'll read all of Psalm 139, and we'll read a large section of Romans 8 as part of giving ourselves to Psalm 46. So if you want to mark those for your convenience now, I want to let you know about that. Of course, I'll repeat and give you time to do that later. But our text today is from Psalm 46. We've been here before with a sermon on verse 10, the very popular verse we know well. I'm going to read all of the psalm for us to take in its context, but I'm going to be highlighting verses 1, 7, and 11. I want us to see that there is a repetition in the psalm, and when God repeats something, it's like he's highlighting it. It's like he's underlining it for us. R.C. Sproul says the way that God does that in the Bible is he repeats. Just as we see in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, something that is repeated three times. I won't quote it because then I'll start preaching it and get distracted. But remember, that's similar just a little bit before this psalm. But in this psalm alone, there is some development, as there often is. There's some progress. But three times, three verses, 1, 7, and 11, there is much that is repeated. And then in verses 7 and 11, something that's repeated twice. Pay attention to that, please, as I read through Psalm 46. And then I'll repeat the verses that we're focusing on this morning. Hear now the word of the Lord. Psalm 46, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song of Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to finish my water. I am having a hard time seeing again, and that did help last time. So I'm sorry. I hate to drink from the pulpit. I refuse to do it usually, but I think I'll be a distraction if I can't see you. So. Excuse me for guzzling in front of you. I hope it didn't make you too thirsty. Remind me when I am, I'm looking for accountability here. I think a little bit probably dehydration. I think that's helping, but and it's dry and hot out. But I think I really need to see the eye doctor. I'm doing a lot of this all the time. You know, I think I need bifocals. I'm finally at the age, probably. But I may need a new prescription because I'm finding just in general I'm struggling to see more and more. So, oh, there you are. So. No, I'm okay. I feel fine. I actually have been getting better rest. So two things I already asked my wife to help me with. I got to go to the dentist and I got to go to the eye doctor while I'm off. Okay. So, thank you for that. I think it'll help. Let me read now. I thought I would do that before. Let me read now verses 5, 7, and 11 together after that distraction to review what we're focusing on in the sermon today. Psalm 46. Verses 1, 7, and 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And lastly, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. May God bless this, the reading, the preaching, the hearing, the believing, and the living out of his holy word. Yesterday, we were at a Christian school, an open house, and I was very intrigued by the words I read on one of their walls by Blaise Pascal. It said this: all of humanity's problems stem from. You might be thinking about a lot of things, but I want to catch your attention there. What? Everything. All of our problems come down to one thing. Whether it's completely accurate or not, I think it's worth considering. He says again, Blaise Pascal, all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Let me challenge you and me. How often can you sit in a room alone with God? Or how often do you have to immediately go to your phone or your computer or something else to distract you? Again, all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Like Martin Luther had to do at the Diet of Worms. You'll remember, as the Lord used him to begin the more formal Reformation, built on the shoulders of many who have gone before. But Martin Luther, the German reformer at the Diet of Worms, he was called, and it was probably likely going to be his death warrant, which is why I think it was Prince Frederick was his name, the rich prince where he was, stole him away before the Catholics could do it and kill him, and hid him away for a long time in his castle, which is where he wrote the German Bible, by the way, the translation. God uses all these things. That's another sermon related to a lot of things we've studied with the Puritans recently. But he got called there and he had to explain himself. He had been teaching and writing against many of the Roman Catholic Church's teachings that were really a problem. And through the engagement and back and forth, it developed particularly into justification by faith alone. But imagine, he had to stand there, and it was packed house, and he had to stand before the Pope's representatives, the hounds of hell, can I say. And he had to answer for himself, and they said, you need to recant of all that you've written. And he was so afraid because he realized the significance if he would recant or if he needed to stand. He didn't just immediately say, I don't recant. He said, can I have a day to pray about this, please? And then he spent all night praying. And my understanding is Martin Luther was praying so fervently alone in his room that people thought there was someone having a conversation with him in there. Because the presence of God and his acknowledgement and recognition of the presence of God and his need for God's presence to help him. He was all alone in that room, but he was able to be there, maybe not exactly quietly in terms of hearing his prayers, but and to have the quiet in his heart. And then he went back to the council and he stood before them and he said, I don't recant. If you can show me that this is against the word of God, but otherwise my conscience, I will not repent. God helping me. And it's debated whether he really said this or not. I think it's fair to represent it as he says, here I stand. I can do nothing else. I can do no other. And again, he's standing alone. Now, sometimes when we're in a room alone, it's in a crowd of faces, but we're alone and we feel alone. And he said, I will do nothing else. How could he do that? Give that defense of the gospel. How could he stand alone, as it were? And how could he be in a room at night alone and not cave to the pressure and quit? Because God was with him. God is always with his people. He's always with his church. James Montgomery Boyce, in his sermon on Psalm 46, which he calls the title Luther's Psalm, Martin Luther's Psalm, he said that this was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Sometimes, and I quote James Montgomery Boyce, sometimes during a dark and dangerous period of Reformation, Luther would get discouraged and depressed with all of the difficulties that were confronting him and the others. And when that happened, he would run to his friend Philip Melanchthon, who was his co-worker, and say to him, "Come on, Philip, let's sing the 46th Psalm." And then he would sing it in his own strong version. James Montgomery Boyce then goes on to quote Luther himself on Psalm 46, which in part Luther wrote on Psalm 46. "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us." He powerfully, miraculously preserves and defends his church and word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world of flesh and sin. And as Boyce points out, that's the way Martin Luther writes. You can imagine the kind of personality and what he went through. He is passionate about God with him against all odds, because that was his life. Beloved, here's what I give to you as the main idea of these three verses in their context. Psalm 46, verses 1, 7, 11, as the repeated though developed refrain, teaches us that in the midst of toil and terror, God is always within our midst to protect and preserve us so that we persevere. I give that to you again. The main idea of these verses in context: in the midst of toil and terror, God is always within our midst to protect and preserve us so that we persevere. And I heard this message when I got on my phone application as I was waiting to go in to do some administrative work for the church before it opened. And I said, I've got to give myself to some devotions today. And so I got on my application on my phone. I encourage you to get this among other places. The Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, opened the app, and there was a message highlighted, a message that runs on the radio across the country by James Montgomery Boyce. It was this sermon, Psalm 46, Martin Luther's psalm. How perfect was that? I said, I wish I could share this with Linda Renner. I don't know how to do it from the application, so I want to preach it for her today, because this, by my understanding, is her favorite psalm. And I was like, how perfect. How perfect that today this sermon is featured. The day, the morning of Ron Renner's surgery, her husband. How fitting. It's her favorite psalm. How fitting, because she sat alone, as it feels when your spouse is separated from you. She sat alone, separate from her husband of 50 plus years, while he was alone in surgery for 7 plus hours. Here's a beautiful thing, if I can give you a side note. He left a beautiful letter to her in her Bible. And as he knew she would, she found it. Why? Because she reads her Bible. It was a beautiful letter expressing all his love and faithfulness to her. And it was mostly a letter about how amazing wife she's been to him. And just in case he didn't make it, because there's always a danger with invasive surgery, just in case, I want you to know this. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, he's always leaving love notes for his wife. He's a good example for us. But he was praising her as a Proverbs 31 wife. But just in case he didn't make it, he left that for her. That is, you see, once again, he on the operation table, having to go under the knife and unconscious, yet was trusting God was with him. And she, having to be separated from her husband, not be able to be there, she was able to say, God is with me, God is with him, he will be his help for me, his ever-present strength. So how fitting that this was there Friday morning, and we hope that they're able to hear this through the webcast right now, sitting in the hospital. Largely, I'm sure, still feeling alone. Today, we study the repetition of Psalm 46 for its emphasis in what it speaks to us in verses 1, 7, and 11. And I'd like to read it one more time, please. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I want to highlight the repetition here again. When God is repeating something, especially so close together, that particularly deserves our attention. It frames and summarizes all of the psalm, but it also gives us, I think, a refrain we want to keep in our hearts and mouths for us. First thing I want to highlight and probably most emphasize is the word refuge. It says, God is my refuge. Three times, each of these verses, God is our refuge. Verse 1, 7, and 11. Now, for verses 7 and 11, the Hebrew word is more literally, God is my stronghold, or God is my fortress. It's given to us as refuge in the English, and that's fine. But more literally, stronghold and fortress. We'll come back to that in a moment. But what is a refuge? Think about, children, if you've ever heard about tornadoes or hurricanes, thankfully we don't really experience that, at least with tornadoes in the Midwest. I would often travel to Indiana in the Midwest when I was in seminary for my work for the seminary. And I remember one time a siren went out at night. I didn't wake up. They asked us if we heard it. No, we didn't hear it. But what it's meant to say is get to the shelters. Get to those shelters underground and shut the door above you, because that is what's going to protect you from the tornado lifting you up, tearing you apart and throwing you to bits. Right. And that's the idea of what it is, that God is our shelter. We run to him. We hide in him, and he protects us from everything going around that would otherwise be in danger of destroying us. God is our refuge. He's the place of protection and safety in the context of danger, as it would be communicated by the imagery of just the weather. Verses 1 and verses 2 to 3, we see that God is our refuge in the sense that he is our shelter from the storms. Literally and figuratively. But then in verses 6 and 8 through 9, we see that he is our refuge. He is our shelter. That is, he's our stronghold in the sense of being our fortress against the forces of evil. And that is always the primary focus and concern. God keeps us safe from his and our enemies. Christ the King subdues his and our enemies and conquers them ultimately. So he is our refuge. But there is other repetition. Two times, the Lord of hosts, his name, the Lord of hosts. I believe we had a study on that in our series through the names of the God of God earlier. He is the Lord of hosts. Verses 7 and 11. He is the Lord of hosts. That is, he is the God of war, and he is the one with all of the angels. They are his soldiers. They are his powerful warriors. You can stop and think about when we know that Jesus' name is Emmanuel. What do we see open? The heaven opens, and what do we see? The hosts of God, the hosts of angels. Remember, when people meet angels in the scriptures, they're usually very afraid. They're not these cute little fat cherubs. They are the powerful warriors that do God's bidding and can destroy us. You can think about other scriptures I haven't highlighted, but James Montgomery Boyce does, where, hey, open our eyes and we see that there are chariots of fire and angels all around us, and there are more with us than there are with them because God is with us. These angels are with us if God is with us, protecting us. God is the Lord of hosts. Remember Hebrews 1 verse 14, quoting Psalm 103, 20 to 21. The angels are ministering spirits to do God's bidding. And what is God's bidding but to protect his church? So when the Lord of hosts is with us, not just the Lord, but many, many angels. Beloved, they're with you now. They're around you now. They're always around and with you, supporting. And they are mighty and powerful. Today, in our lesson on American Puritans, remember we saw one person write. He was a minister to the Native American Indians, and there was an Indian holding up a knife about to try to kill him. And here's how he responded. Once when threatened, I'll give you the whole quote. Once when threatened by a Native American with a knife, John Eliot retorted, "I am about the work of the great God, and he is with me. So that I fear not all the sachems or chiefs of the country. I'll go on, and do you touch me if you dare." he was doing God's work, God's missions. It wasn't, I'm so powerful, but God is with me. You watch out before you attack me because God is with me. What is also a refrain in verses 7 and 11, God of Jacob, another name, the God of Jacob. This is significant. This is expressing that he is the covenant God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is faithful to every generation of the church. Why is this important? He's faithful to we who are not always faithful and sadly often lacking much faith and very unfaithful. Why is that helpful to remember? Why is he the God of Jacob? Why does that become so significant? And the God of Israel? Because Jacob is not the best patriarch to be looking to as an example. Remember, he had to leave Israel for a long time because he was a liar. He was a manipulator. And he had to spend a long time growing. And even as he comes back, you know, he knows he's paying a lot for this temporarily. But James Montgomery Boyce says this: Jacob was the least of the patriarchs. It took him his whole life to learn how to trust God. Yet the God of Abraham was no less his God. And then he quotes Alexander McLaren, who says, "The God of Jacob is the Lord of hosts, but even more wonderful than that, the Lord of hosts is the God of Jacob." And the name Jacob and the name Israel become the collective singular name of the church, of the people of God. Thus, God is your God. He's the God of you. He's the God of me. He's the God of us, we his people. And that leads to another refrain we don't want to miss, the word our. He's our God. He's mine personally, and he's ours as we're in covenant together as his people. That's reflected many times, us or our. God is in covenant relationship with his covenant people. Christ is with his church, and he says to her, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so he says, be content with that. Also, the word Lord, the name Lord itself is Yahweh. It's the covenant name for God, the most important name of showing he is the covenant name of God. It's revealed to Moses at the burning bush when he's getting his ministry call to go and deliver God's people from Egypt. And he says, "What's your name?" And he says, "Tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one sending you. Tell him Yahweh, that is, I am." Remember Christ, there's seven I am statements of himself. Tell him I am sent you. And it's the word Yahweh. It's the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that is here. It's the special covenant name. Remember, Moses is there. And what does he see? A burning bush. What is that showing? God's holy presence with his church that yet will never consume them, but instead will be the light of the world through them and continue them through the end. Another thing that is a refrain, our, but then again, with us. I want to emphasize he's our refuge. He's with us. In verse 1, it's even emphasized he is very present with us. Don't you love that superlative way of saying he's with us, he's with us, he's with us. He's very, very present. Right. And then also verse 5, he is in her midst. He's in the midst of the church. There's such an emphasis. You could say perhaps that the main idea of this psalm is that God is with us. He's with us. And that everything else flows out of that clear, important teaching. God is with us. What is Jesus' name again? Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. God is always present with his people because he is who he is. And therefore, he is always the safe place for us to take shelter, to be still, and to find our security. And then there's another repetition, the word Selah. Selah. That's a word of repetition a few times. It could be a musical phrase and it means pause. You know, there's a beautiful place in messages sometimes where there's just a pause. For emphasis, to reflect and to let it sink in. Similarly, in music, there are times where there's a, I believe it's called a fermata, there's times where there's a slowing down, there's repetition, and sometimes there's an aspect of a pause. And there's this idea of pause, Selah, stop and reflect on this refrain that God is with us, always our refuge. And be at peace. Look at verse 2 with me of Psalm 46, verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Whatever happens, what's an application of this psalm? I will not be afraid. As Psalm 56 says, when I'm afraid, I'll trust in God. And what is one of the refrains there? I won't be afraid of men. I'll only be afraid and trust the Lord God. I won't be afraid of anybody because God is with me and I'll fear only God. Look at verse 10 of our psalm. Another important application of the psalm, which is the verse we're most familiar with, I think. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You're serving me. You're serving Christ. A lot of times it doesn't feel or look like that, does it? But he says it is. I will be. So therefore, be still. Know that I am true God. I am truly the only God. I am truly God. So therefore, be still. I appreciate you might remember what R.C. Sproul said about that verse, be still. It kind of means something like shut up. Don't speak. Be quiet and let it sink in and settle down. Of course, when we're not settled down and we're all stirred up with the wrong things of the world, we make a lot of mistakes. Beloved, you can sit still in silent seclusion without fear because the Spirit of God is always with you. And you as the church can continue on as pilgrims and strangers in this world because Jesus is with you as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and he will give you the entire earth as your inheritance, where you will sing around him and the throne forever together in united shalom. J. Montgomery Boyce says this, remember, it is God who is our strength and refuge. God alone. He and no other. Not money, not training, not talents, not relationships, and I would add, and not yourself. God alone is your strength. God alone is your help. God alone is your refuge. You want to be careful not to shrink within yourself and avoid opening up your hearts and hands to God. Beloved, I see the mailman and a friend bringing Pat in. Next time, forgive me, let's never let him walk that long. What seems so quick for us, he's walking into the parking lot now. Brother Maxwell, would you please greet him and help bring him in? Is Mr. Maxwell in the back there? I can't see. He's out there already. Oh, excuse me. It's Mr. Maxwell helping him already. Praise the Lord. when we come in, I think it's such an unusual time. Let's welcome him and praise him and hope that he can be blessed by what he hears. Remember, it's God who is your refuge and strength. Don't recline unto yourself. Reach out to and be blessed by him. Christ alone gives you strength. Christ alone gives you strength when you are still to remember that in contentment, come what may, so that you can remember to say, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And as I'm watching our brother struggle to get in here with the help of Mr. Maxwell, yet he's coming in. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. On the phone, he told me, I'm going to beat this kidney problem. I'm going to get my life in order. I'm going to get strength. He already told me about ways he wants to start working and be employed again. His family is being reconciled after a long time of not being together or talking. Love, Proverbs 18, verse 10 says this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I want to ask you to remember to turn with me now to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 39 through 39. Romans chapter 8. Could we, beloved, could you help me here? Our friend Pat is needing to sit down. Fernando, would you mind opening the window, please, so that he can hear the message? I'm hoping he might be able to hear it as he rests. And maybe you can let... Hey, Pat, I don't know if you can hear us, but we're opening the window so you can hear the message, brother. Okay. And all right, you can hear. I'm going to preach extra loud. You give me the excuse to preach extra loud right now. Okay? Okay. This message is God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help. It's a perfect psalm for you to hear. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 18, verse 10. But now we turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. Paul writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Turn with me back to Psalm 139, something that we read and meditated on in the Renner's house the evening before he would go to have this significant surgery for what turned out to be 7 hours alone on that table. And as he said, when you're on that table, as he's been there before, though there's many people walking around and getting ready, you are alone. I know some of you, I see you nodding your heads. You can speak to that experience. So we took comfort in this psalm, and if you'll forgive me, as I only meant to read a few verses that night, I just had to read them all. Let's read through these together, beloved, as we think to apply for ourselves and give further words to apply Psalm 46. Psalm 139, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in the book, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How blessed was that verse to be on the mind of Elder Renner when he woke. When I wake, I am still with thee, because he's still with me. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody man. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Beloved, so often the temptation is to run reckless, headlong, falling into the world ahead of God and not letting the battle belong to the Lord, so that we are safe under his protection. So hear and heed the call first of 2 Corinthians 13:12, and behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and against them, for the Lord will be with you. Numbers 14, verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the Lord, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Beloved, I remind you of the word refuge that's given to us three times in these three repetitive verses. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our help. He's ever present with us. He's within our midst. God is our refuge. Be within him. I remind you that in verse 7:11, the word refuge is actually more literally in the Hebrew stronghold or fortress. And that naturally brings us to think of Martin Luther's famous hymn, which is his loose rendition of Psalm 46. A mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus it is, He, Lord Sabaoth His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. Oh, excuse me, I didn't put the two lines together. Forgive me. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not. Excuse me. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Now, I'm thankful I goofed up. He is with me. He's with us, and He gets all the glory. This is what I want to say. Remember, He said to Philip Melanchthon, every time he was distressed and depressed because of dangers and difficulties, ones you and I can't really ever understand, at least not for the moment, he turned to Philip Melanchthon and said, let's sing the old 46th. And that's what they sang together in German. Christian, because you can always sing these words, and I encourage you to go to our Psalter for Psalm 46. You can sit in a room alone quietly, or stand alone quietly before a sea of accusing faces, because God is always with you there, including the very private and secret place of your heart, where the greatest battles are fought and the most important victories are won. Even at death, James Montgomery Boyce shares this moving story. John Wesley, now I know we would have many issues with theology there, but John Wesley, nonetheless, when he was about to die, was so weak and frail, they couldn't even hear what he was saying. They had to get very close. He was whispering, he's so close to death. But what he said was this, best of all, God is with us. And then he raised his hand one more time as he was about to die. Best of all, God is with us. And then he went to be with God. Be blessed in peaceful rest at all troublous times and frightening circumstances. You are safe and secure in your Savior. Because Christians, because church, because Jacob, O Israel, our God is always with us as our refuge. That is the message for you this morning. As our brother, our friend Pat, was only here towards the end, let me read loudly for us the three verses of our theme today. Psalm 46, verses 1, 7, and 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is in the midst of her. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Oh, beloved people of God, our God is always with us as our refuge. Let us persevere. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, even for giving us this image that you are always with us, so you will help us persevere against great odds as you brought our friend all the way here. Help us to learn now his needs better and to presume a little bit more upon him and offer him driving and rides and help him get here. But we thank you. You brought him here the first time this morning, just as he said he would. And very few people actually show up when they say that. Lord, bless him to have saving knowledge of Christ. Be his strength, as the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And, oh, Lord, we do take encouragement that you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our very present help in troublous times. Oh, Lord, you are the God of Jacob. You are the Lord of hosts. We do thank you that the Lord of hosts is the God of Jacob, that the Lord of hosts is our God. You command the angels, ministering spirits, to do your will, and your will is to deliver your people into heaven and to see us through this world and not be rocked or shaken or destroyed by it. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be still and know that you are God and you will be exalted through all the world. You will advance your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let us indeed seek to make disciples of all nations, because you are with us always, even into the end of the earth. And help us, Lord, through our daily difficulties and trials and the littlest fears that become the biggest. Help us to give ourselves to you every morning. And if we can do nothing else, let us turn to Psalm 46 and study these three verses and sing them. Almighty God, let us be comfortable to be alone, quiet in a room, or alone in a room of attackers and accusers. Because you are with us, we can do all things, and we can be content. Thank you that you are our God. Thank you that you will be with us all the way into the promised land of heaven. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen.